As we observe Earth Day today, it's getting harder to ignore what can seem like a litany of almost daily bad news about the state of the planet. Even more daunting can be the question of how to loop kids in on the conversation about warming oceans, disappearing species, pollution, and doomsday scenarios about water wars and food shortages. So our next guest is here to help.
For today's Teach Me What You Know segment, we've got Brenna Holzhauer with us. Brenna is the Director of Exhibits and Digital Curricula at Madison's Aldo Leopold Nature Center, where she regularly works with children, educating them about the environment. Brenna, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, first off, happy Earth Day to you.
Happy Earth Day.
Well, and from happy Earth Day to some of the more challenging news about the planet lately. There has been, as we all know, some challenges. There's climate change going on. Seemed like barrage sometimes with bad news about polar bears going extinct and other species extinction and just different challenges the climate is facing right now. How do we start a conversation with our children about that?
That's a really great question, and I think it's really important. And I think a lot of us in the field, we can get frustrated about all the bad news that we hear every day, but it's really important to think about kids and the fact that they can't really process all that fear and anxiety, and so we need to approach things a little bit differently when we talk with them. It's really important to focus on the positive with kids and the solutions that they can do, and to show by good example and incorporate them in household decisions and make them feel like they have a little bit of control over the situation. Especially for younger kids, I think the main thing you can do is just take them outside and get them connected with nature so that you can focus on kind of the good things about the environment as well.
And if children aren't bringing it up themselves, should parents take the lead and introduce the topic?
Yeah, definitely. It's not something that should be avoided. And I think it's important to acknowledge the emotions that they're feeling and make sure that they know that that's normal and that's okay, but that there are a lot of things we can do to help. Humans have been tackling large problems for a long time, and we can tackle this one together, too. You can also point out examples from your own lifetime that you've seen, success stories, environmental or otherwise. And then just approach the solutions that they can take together.
And in terms of getting kids involved in the solutions, do you think it gives them a greater sense of agency if they can do something about it themselves? You teach them about an action they can take that might help.
Yeah, I do. Kids really like to have kind of control over their immediate surroundings and then especially kind of the world around them. So even just little things that you can do together and get them in the habit make a really big difference. And it's important to talk about how these things can be collective actions and kids all over the world can be doing them together, as well as all the adults that are taking action too. And it really makes a big difference.
Well, what are some suggestions for things we could have kids do that might make them feel better, collective and otherwise?
Well, there are the simple things that you hear a lot, like just changing a light bulb, turning off lights when you leave a room. And I think it's important when you're doing those things to talk about why you're doing them and how it kind of connects to some of the larger issues. And then there are things you can do just in your everyday lives, decisions that you make together at the grocery store about food that you're buying. You can make sure you turn your car off when you're waiting to pick up a friend so you're not idling. You can, especially kids can get in on helping to arrange carpools and making sure they're riding bikes, and just little things really do add up. And then you can take on larger projects as a family. You could plant a garden in your backyard. You could look into installing solar panels. You could get kids involved in school with environmental clubs or making changes in the cafeteria or getting recycling programs started.
Have you seen kids who are upset about it, who seen some of the news? Because not all of it is pretty. If you tell a kid, you know, polar bears may be going extinct, that's something that can be really upsetting. How do you deal with the emotions of it?
Yeah, we do see that. And I think kids especially, it's easy for them to, the scary things kind of stand out a lot more. They have a different frame of reference than adults, and they're maybe not able to rationalize some of the things that we can. And I think also they're aware that this is all going to happen in their lifetimes, and they're the ones that are going to have to deal with these problems. So it is definitely relevant, and the kids are feeling anxious out there. But like I said, I think just focusing on the positive and doing things together as a family, and just making sure that they know that education and awareness are important too, and they can talk to their friends about it, and they can connect with people online. And there are a lot of really great citizen science programs and apps on the internet that you can, so you can really see your collective impact because you're linking up with people all over the world.
Right. And you're a fan of getting technology involved, playing a part in this when it's appropriate. How, what sorts of things would you advise?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really great resources out there. And we at the Aldo Leopold Nature Center, we like to make sure we're using technology in complement to getting kids outside as well. It is really important to have that connection with nature. But there are a lot of really great resources out there that can help you explain climate change to your kids. Some great websites, some great animations, and some of these abstract concepts are hard to visualize. So it's nice to be able to find some of the videos and books that are out there and websites. And then the citizen science apps that I mentioned and some of the websites where you can actually get involved in collecting data outside and you can help compile it and compare with other areas and compare with years prior so you can feel like you're contributing to science too because scientists are using the data.
What kind of data?
Well, something we practice at the Nature Center is called phenology, which is the science of appearance. And it's basically just observing and recording things that you see in the world around you. And it is really important in science, but it's also just a really easy, accessible thing you can do with your family. Anything like observing birds that are coming and going, migrations, just things you see in your backyard, buds that are sprouting. And it's just a fun way, if, especially if you keep records from year to year, you can compare what's happening with the seasons and with the weather, and that can lead to some great conversations about climate and climate change as well. And then you can keep your own family records or you can enter them into some of these bigger collective databases too.
I was thinking about how the UN recently issued a report that seemed to sort of shift the conversation from how to stop climate change to how to survive it, because it sort of seems as though it's already rolling on. How realistic should we be? Do we have an obligation to be honest with our kids, even if it's, you know, going to scare them?
Well, I think it's important to talk about adaptation along with mitigation. And so mitigation is all the actions we can take to curb climate change, curb emissions, and try to prevent a lot of these future worst case scenarios. But a lot of these things are already happening and a lot of them will continue to happen for the decades to come. And so it's really important to also be studying and discussing and focusing adaptation. And humans in general and our society is pretty adaptive. And so there are a lot of things, especially with new technologies and renewable energy and even just some ecosystem management and things like that, that we can do to kind of help protect the resources that we have and adapt to what's already to come.
So maybe should it be age appropriate, depending on how much of the, you know, the truth, you know, such as we know it, you want to let kids in on? Or, you know, is it okay, appropriate what's for a 13-year-old, the same as appropriate for a 6-year-old?
It definitely, the conversation should change as kids get older. When they're really, really young, the most important thing is to connect them with nature, get them interested and curious, and also understanding and feeling compassionate about what they're seeing. And you'll kind of lay that environmental ethic and that feeling of stewardship that you can build on as they get older. And you can also just introduce very simple concepts like talking about the weather and talking about the water cycle. And you maybe don't even have to mention climate change or global warming. Or some of the scarier things. But then as kids get older, you can start to connect the dots a little bit more. It's a really complicated, complex topic. And so there are a lot of different angles and ways to approach it. And the best thing you can do is just kind of keep building on it as kids get older.
Well, let's focus in on the getting kids connected with nature aspect of it, because that's part of your specialty and part of what the Aldo Leopold Nature Center does, getting kids connected with nature. What are some, I guess, baby steps to forging, not just getting kids outside, that's part of it, but part of it seems to be having them emotionally invested in the natural world, which is sort of the next step. How do you get to that step?
That's a great question, and that's sort of our mission at the Nature Center. We follow in the words of Aldo Leopold by he said we should teach the student to see the land, understand what he sees, and enjoy what he understands. And so that's what we do, and I think the more often kids can get outside and the more quality time they can have, the more they'll appreciate and be interested in what they're doing. And I think having lots of good hands-on interactions is what's important, and really just making it joyful and letting them enjoy what they're doing, having great experiences and being able to ask questions and look things up together and just learning together. Really just getting their hands dirty and letting them kind of have free play outside is really important.
So getting some field guides, maybe identifying flowers and bugs and birds, that kind of thing?
Yeah, just going for hikes, going fishing, anything you can do to get outside and bring resources, and even some of those mobile apps that have some good identification and good questions you can look up together.
And as far as some of the, you know, the scarier things that we hear about from time to time, not everyone agrees on these because there's still a lot of different opinions, but you know, you have people predicting water wars and food shortages and civilization collapse, things like that. Is it okay to shelve that for a while and focus on the mission you're talking about, just getting them to connect with nature?
Yeah, I think that is really important, and they'll have time as they get older to kind of build on that and tackle some of the scarier things. And I think it's also really important to stress that we can solve these problems by being innovative and creative and just learning as much as we can about the science and the technology, and maybe someday they'll be able to invent something that will help solve some of these problems too.
So you work with children regularly as part of your job. Are you seeing kids that have the connection you're talking about and are dealing in creative ways with climate change, even though they're children?
Yeah, we do. It's really great to just see the creativity kids have. And we'll go through a lesson and talk about some of these things, and we always make sure to end on a positive note and talk about solutions and what kids can do. And I've been blown away by some of the solutions they have, and some of them may or may not be realistic with current technological limitations, but maybe by the time they're adults, they'll be able to make that a reality. So it's pretty exciting.
But it sounds like they're thinking about it.
Yep.
And they're connecting, and that sounds like what you want at this stage.
Yep, that's the best we can do for now with kids, and just get them interested and concerned and passionate, and hope that they can help us through some of these problems of the future.
Do you have anything else exciting planned after this for the rest of your Earth Day?
I'm actually heading back to the Monona Terrace for the Nelson Institute Earth Day Conference. It's been a great day so far, and we have a banquet and some presentations this evening, so it should be fun.
Excellent. Well, Brenna, thanks for making time. I know you've got a busy day. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy Earth Day.
We've been talking to Brenna Holzhauer, Director of Exhibits and Digital Curricula at Madison's Aldo Leopold Nature Center.